Beloved Babaji, my fragments come together in this letter, which I write as an expression of gratitude to you. From all the dangers in this life, you are the best one. From all the pleasures of being alive, you are the biggest one. To be your disciple brings me so many gifts, infinite realizations. You are the infinite acting in front of our eyes. Everything that was said in the documentary about the 16th Karmapa deeply touched my heart. But there was one precious moment of communion with the monk disciple when one of them shared that His Holiness Karmapa was unshakable. Only when talking about his guru, he would shake. I have seen it too in you, beloved. This most untouchable presence, shaking, laughing, speechless, in tears, collapsing, when talking about your beloved. The deepest drop a devotee can receive, a drop of devotion coming from the source and returning to the same source. I know how blessed I am to sit and receive from you. I know you are my beautiful galactic dancer. Everything else I don't need to know. I thank you for the love in my heart. I love you, yours, Kavita. It all depends how open the disciple is. The master is just there. And in India, they say that the master, the guru, is the master key that unlocks life's mysteries. And the only way is to become closer and closer with that guru. It's an intimate thing. This master-disciple relationship, it unlocks the mystery of life. It just depends how open. I'm happy you felt it, because these disciples of the Karmapa, or any real disciple, can show you this devotion that is totally unheard of in the West. It's something that belongs to the East, because for thousands of years they haven't been so interested in the outside. In the West is only the outside. In the East it has been the inner journey, the science of the soul, of the heart, of meditation. And if people don't know about that, how can they know this intimacy with the Guru, which is the language of the heart, of the soul? And it's good also you took notice, because I also took notice of that. That's why we are brothers, me and this Karmapa. Annie too, because he's also because of the guru. So if it's a true master, if it's a true disciple, that is what goes the deepest. He was the savior. So many times I cannot speak, when sometimes I start speaking, I cannot speak because I get too much. So in that way, Karmapa was very lucky. He didn't say anything. He didn't have much that gift of teaching. No? And because of that Tibetan tradition, you just kept him like that. But also, he didn't transform or touch many people, because it was only these Tibetans that were close to him. It was the intimacy with the close disciples that could taste him. You don't taste that in big crowds when you just come. Should we go to the movie or should we go and see the Karmapa? It's not like that. That's why I myself stopped giving satsangs around. Because all the time new people that had no idea. This is only for the insiders who are ready to work on themselves. Beloved Master, thank you for breaking me apart, giving space for the heart. I cannot think of anything better than being with you. Sometimes I feel the pain of not being able to take you in even more, just wanting to disappear totally. I feel very lucky having found you, and I'm reminded what an amazing journey this is. Also when watching the Tibetans and the 16 Karmapa, love, Ojas. Yes, I have to go on reminding you and trying to touch you from all sides now. This is the right way, Ojas. Because whatever you want, whatever you focus on, that's where your energy is going. So be aware what you are dreaming of, what you are longing for, what you want. The more pure it is, the more pure you will be, the more happy you will be. That's why they say be steady, you know. Be steady, be committed, become unshakable. Then you don't go astray. You create your own future. If people doesn't have this longing, how can they find the destination then? It comes from your deepest longing. That's what the Tibetans and the Indians always have said. Be steady, be committed to the Dharma, to the Guru, to the truth. It was so nice it is so nice and it will be so nice niceness is there Because this, all this with this 16 Kamapa came up, I thought I wanted to share more stories with you. Especially because it's cloudy, it feels a little cozy today. Already I thought something was messed up here. Did I talk about Govinda, who went to see Karmapa last time?
Briefly, you didn't mention his name.
What did he say then?
I think you mentioned that he went there and Karmapa told about Osho that he would be a great master.
Yeah? Okay. No, I'm going to tell you the whole story. This Swami Govind Siddhartha, he was one of the first sannyasins, the first batch of sannyasins that Osho initiated into sannyas in 1970 in Manali, my old hometown, which by some mysterious way was the first place I came when I went to India. I went straight to Manali. I didn't know anything about Osho at that time. You see how mysterious life is? Anyway, so this is the, I will call him Govind. Then the person asked him, would you please tell us in detail about your visit to the monastery of the Tibetan Lama, His Holiness, Lama Karmapa. Then Swami Govind says, Darjeeling is full of monasteries. When one approaches Darjeeling, many monasteries are seen on the way. Many times I have heard Bhagwan, which Osho was called then, talk about the Tibetan mystics, of the occult science, of how they meditate, and of the things that they have learned from meditation and Buddha. So naturally, when I was traveling in Darjeeling in June 1972 with my wife and two daughters, aged 13 and 10, I was very interested in seeing their monasteries. This was a very big monastery with Karmapa, with about 200 persons permanently living there who are all lamas and monks. No one is allowed to stay in the monastery unless he has renounced. Lama means one who has renounced life in the world and who becomes a monk. When I first came to the monastery, I was told that His Holiness would not be able to see me and that he usually only sees certain people, but that perhaps I could make an appointment. I learned later that my hotel manager knew him very well, and he said that he would arrange a meeting. So the next morning, we started towards the monastery. But I had just completely forgotten to ask him to call and make an appointment for me. I remembered afterwards that I should have told him. But I went there anyway with my family. When we arrived by car, and he was quite something, this Govind Siddharth, because he went there in those days, and it was very difficult to go there then, to Sikkim. I've been there myself maybe 20 years ago, and even then it was pretty bad. He was from Bombay. When we arrived, the monastery was completely closed. I was very disappointed and wondered whether I would be able to meet His Holiness or not, or whether I would even be able to see the inside of the monastery. Then all of a sudden, one Lama came and he said, "Do you want to meet Guruji?" I said, "Yes, yes. I have come only for that purpose." He immediately took me to where His Holiness is staying. He said that there were some foreigners inside and I would have to wait for some time. I said, "I do not mind at all waiting." He asked me for my name and address. I gave him my name from Bhagwan, Swami Govind Siddharth from Bombay. He went inside, and to my surprise, the Lama came out saying that "You are immediately wanted inside by His Holiness." I was surprised. I went in and I was greeted by him as I was expected there. This is how I came to be in His presence. I entered and touched His feet. He immediately put His two hands on my head. This is really a very rare gesture and very significant in the tradition of Tibetan Lamas. According to their practice, when you enter and bow down to His Holiness, you are supposed to present a scarf to him, which is put on his leg. If he feels something special about you concerning your spiritual development, he will then put it on your neck, around your neck. If he feels that you are somewhat more advanced in meditation, then there are special scarves with three red marks, and he will put that on you. If he feels something still more deeper about you, then he will put one hand on your head. But the highest indication is if he puts two hands on your head. He would never have done this unless he felt this indication. His Holiness Kamapa never even knew anything about me beforehand, as I had never made an appointment with him. If I had taken an appointment, he would have known who I am, but he never knew anything about me, except that I was in an orange sannyas dress. About His Holiness, he is said to be a divine incarnation. In Tibet, They believe that whoever attains to Buddhahood, to enlightenment, if by their own wishes they are born again to help people in the world, then they are divine incarnation, bodhisattvas. In this area of Darjeeling, this is the only monastery that has a lama who is enlightened, an enlightened incarnation. There are only three such living enlightened Tibetans, incarnations, bodhisattvas, altogether at the present moment. When I first entered, he immediately told me, "I know from where you are coming." It was a great surprise for me. And then he said, "I'm seeing that you have somewhere some kind of photograph, or something which is printed on two sides of your guru." I answered, "I have nothing like that, which is printed on two sides." In that moment, I had completely forgotten about my mala and the locket hanging on with Bhagavan's photograph on both sides. There was an English lady who acted as an interpreter, a translator. Since Lama Karmapa does not know any English, but speaks only the Tibetan language, this English lady has been there for many years. She has completely renounced everything and is following the Tibetan ways of meditation. She is Lama Karmapa's disciple and the only lady in the monastery. Basically, no ladies are allowed, and there are special monasteries for ladies. She saw my mala and said, "So what is this?" I then remember that the locket was printed on two sides and said, "Yes, this is a photograph of my guru." She was very curious to see it, so I took it off and showed it to her. Immediately, Karmapa said, "This is it." He took the locket of Bhagavan in his hand and he touched it to his forehead. Then he said about him, "He is the greatest incarnation since Buddha in India and is a living Buddha." I felt so much excitement to hear this. Then asked, "There are certain other people in India who also say they have attained enlightenment. What about them?" He replied, "They are realized souls, but not enlightened incarnations." Then I asked particularly about Krishnamurti. He said, "Firstly, he is not in India." Krishnamurti was so modern, he must have been in California. "Secondly, he is a realized soul, but not a divine incarnation. That is what he specifically told me." Then I asked him, "What is the difference between an incarnation and a realized soul?" He said that the realized soul has become self-realized, but he cannot necessarily help other people. If he wants to help others, then he would have to have been specially trained for this in occult and esoteric mystery schools and science, and must be born again and again for this training. Then he can make a conscious choice of rebirth. All this Bhagwan has already passed through, the Lama told me. Divine incarnation means an incarnation of someone who was trained in previous lives to help others, not just the soul who has realized in this life. In Osho's case, he has already been trained. He has already been realized. Now, in this life, Bhagwan has taken birth specially in order to help people spiritually, only for this purpose. He has taken birth fully consciously, the Lama said. In that respect, I told him that he is teaching many, many people, and he speaks on many, many deep things. You have to remember that this Swami Govind, he was just a baby that he had just taken sannyas, even though he had been with Osho. But he himself became enlightened, which we will come back to later on. Kamapa then said, "You may be feeling that Bhagwan is speaking for you. But it's not only for you that he speaks. He speaks for the Kashic records, records of events and worlds that is recorded on the astral planes. Also, whoever, whatever is spoken is not forgotten. That is why you will find that he goes on repeating things, and he will go on repeating things, and you will feel that he is speaking for you. But the matter of fact, he speaks only for a really few people. Only very few people will realize what he really is. But his words will remain in the Kashic records, so that they will also be helpful for spiritual people in the future." Then his Kamapa asked me where Bhagwan is. As he at once recognized him when I came there from the vibration of my locket with his photo on. He said they were together in the past life. All the Buddhas, all the enlightened ones, come in contact with each other. Even now, he and Bhagwan are in contact with one another telepathically. That is how he knows. I thought that his questions meant where Bhagwan is staying. Or I did not hear that English lady who was translating properly. So I said, "Bombay." His Holiness said, "No, no, no, not Bombay. He meant, where is his native place?" Then, when I told him Madhya Pradesh, he said, "Right, right, this is right." So, he knew the whole thing before I said it, even as it is in the Akashic records. And he knows from these records already. Then he asked me about what methods of meditation Bhagwan is teaching. I described to him over 4-stage meditation, dynamic meditation. When I told him about the 3rd stage, the shouting of the who, 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 he said that this who comes from the whom in the Tibetan mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. He was so much excited about this that he just grabbed my 2 hands, saying that he was so happy, very much delighted about this. And this method is absolutely right. This is similar to some of the Tibetan ways of these practices. And whatever work we are doing, you are doing the same thing. Many differences are only in language. For example, when we use the term Kundalini, they use the burning fire to mean the same thing. But about Bhagwan's method, he just said, perfect, perfect. I know when an enlightened man gets somebody who is receptive and can understand, how excited they get. Because it's very seldom you come across them. And most probably in his own disciples, this Govind was sticking out when he came. And of course, Govind didn't know it himself, how open he is. I saw also one interview when Karmapa was in America. They interviewed him in some local station in New York or in Vermont. And you have a straight interviewing sitting there. And Karmapa is there, and he is asking questions. And he have many of the old monks with him and his disciples. And nothing can transpire because it's only head. The interviewer was a nice man, but you don't understand these secrets when you don't have that receptivity, that maturity. It's almost pointless to speak at all. But when he came here, he was very excited with Govind. And also, for the first time, he could get some news about Osho, what was happening. When I met him, he was very also excited. So excited that he forgot that other man who'd been waiting. I had no expectations to see him. Perfect, perfect, he said. Actually, their system is quite different in most ways. They believe in vibrations being responsible for all manifestations. And they do a lot of prayers and chanting in a particular mantras in the Tibetan language. This must be done only in a particular way. But His Holiness felt sure that this who stage in our meditation comes from the Om in the mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. And then Bhagwan has also confirmed and said this in some of his lectures. In Tibetan theory, they believe that existence is nothing but vibration, and that only by the right vibration can one achieve enlightenment. So they believe that prayer and prayers and in repeating particular mantras and sounds, particular rhythms through which they can attune into the cosmic and go deep in the meditation. So they calming down the restless vibration of the mind. That is the theory of meditation. So everything is very quiet, deep. This prayer hall, which I have mentioned in Tibet, has a statue of Buddha. No, this prayer hall, which I have mentioned, this is his in the monastery in Darjeeling, has a statue of Buddha, photographs of the Dalai Lama and of great souls like that, and hundreds of special lamps which they light up when they pray. You can feel the strong vibrations as soon as you enter the monastery, because the lamas constantly go on chanting their prayer, creating a vibratory atmosphere. They are provided clothes, food, shelter, so they have nothing to worry about and nothing else to do but meditation. Meditation is the main aim of these 200 monks, so that creates a very special atmosphere. Half of the meditation is done even without any practice, because the vibrations are very, very good there. They are felt as soon as you enter. I myself feel the difference now, very, very much. Just a little break now. We will try to come back.
Thank you.
the Tibetans have different occult sciences, which one has to learn in order to help other people also, such as the science of knowing the aura of a human being. By this, you can immediately know what type of person someone is, whether he is real, whether he speaks the truth or not, or if he is false, whether he is on the path of meditation or not, whether he is going ahead or whether he is just regressing, stagnant. All these things can also be known by color of the magnetic fields of the human aura. Altogether, another occult science which they have to learn is telepathy. By this you can read the thoughts of people. And a third one is clairvoyance, a science by which you can guide people by your thoughts from a long distance. These are the three signs one must learn, and they have different types of meditations for these things. Naturally, I asked the Karmapa more about them and whether he can teach me or not. That's what I said, he was just a baby. But he grew into a flower. Don't worry, we will come back to that. He said he could not teach anyone who was not one of their lamas, because if these things go to a person who is not ready for them, they can easily be misused. This the Tibetans have kept all the occult sciences very, very secret, only because they feel that nowadays we live in a very materialistic world. People are just becoming egos and will try to make money out of everything. That is why they don't want to give out these secrets. Generally, they try, especially, not to let any realized soul go out of their group. However, after self-realization, they cannot control them or any soul. Regarding Osho, His Holiness Karmapa said that after enlightenment, it cannot be held if the soul of the enlightened one, by his own choice, is reborn somewhere else than among them. And in Osho's case, the Lama Karmapa said that he was with them in the past lives. He said to me, if you want to see some of Bhagwan's previous incarnation, who he was in Tibet, you can still go to Tibet and see his golden statue, which is preserved in the hall we have of incarnations of the Buddhas. Bhagwan's last birth is said to have occurred about 700 years ago. His Holiness Karmapa was referring to one birth before that one. He said Bhagwan was one of the great incarnations in Tibet two births ago, and his statue is preserved there. There are 99 golden statues of great divine incarnations like this in Tibet, according to Karmapa. One of them is the statue of Bhagwan from two lives back. The Chinese could not destroy it. They cannot, because these statues have been removed to a very remote part of Tibet and is secretly hidden in a cave. The real statues have been removed because these statues are very powerful occult things. If anybody even just wants to touch them, powerful spiritual experience can happen to him. So in the room where they are kept, even the monks will not be allowed to enter. Only particular people can be allowed. Because even by touching these statues, one can have very strong, powerful reactions. One has to be prepared. Whatever His Holiness Karmapa wanted to tell, I just wanted only to listen. So I went on just listening to him, to his responses. I found only that he was so happy about the whole thing, and he was so excited, as if something lost was found again. Through this excitement, which he conveyed, and in his gestures, I could realize that he must have been very closely associated with Bhagwan in the past lives. He did not specifically say what was his own spiritual relationship to Bhagwan, and I did not want to ask him, though I was very, very curious. It was a very interesting and unique experience for me, which I never had expected. He went on to say about Osho and his work that my blessings are always there, and I know that whatever we are not going to be able to do to help others, Osho will do. This is what Karmapa, he was still locked in the Tibetan tradition. Osho broke free, he became a world teacher. He is not limited to any religion, any thought, any idea, any religious experience. So that's why this Karmapa always been close to me, because he was way ahead of even the Tibetans. He could see this. He had his missions, but he was blessing Osho's work because he knew that the wheel of Dharma had to turn. The Tibetans will never reach that many people. You need a new teaching for the new humanity. My blessings are always there, and I know that whatever we are not going to be able to do to help others, Osho will do. The main aim of the Lamas in coming to India was to preserve their occult science. Osho has also confirmed this in his Kashmiri lectures given in 1969. the Dalai Lama has not escaped only to save himself, but to save the Tibetan religion, all the meditation secrets, the occult sciences. Only for that purpose has he come to India, taking with him everything from Tibet. Kamapa said, "We have gotten all these things from India in the past, and now we would like to return them back." He is meaning that the enlightened beings came from India to Tibet to spread the teaching. Then they got enlightened disciples in Tibet. Before that, Tibet was very shamanistic. So this is how the whole tradition came, when enlightened people came from India over the mountains and taught the Tibetans. And then the Tibetans really dived into it like nobody else. It was way the most spiritual and advanced meditation country, place in the whole world, on the whole planet. "We have gotten these things, these teachings from India," Kamapa said, "in the past, and now we want to return them back. And now we have come to know that there is an incarnation there, Osho, who is doing our job in India and in the world. We are happy about it." This is how they think about Osho. His Holiness then said that Osho is the only person who will be able to do this work in India, as they are finding it very, very difficult to contact Indian people themselves, since they do not speak our language. But Kamapa said that Bhagwan has taken special care to come to India for this birth. And he said to me, "You are very, very fortunate to have him." This he told me also. I was safe. He said he is the only divine incarnation living today who will be a world teacher. I'm telling you all this so you can go deeper, so you can get out of your own little bubble a little bit, so you can realize that you are part of something much bigger. Then he asked me how we are initiated, whether there is anything in particular we have to go through. I just said, "No, nothing difficult. We are just accepted as we are." And hopefully you will become what you really are. That he missed out on. nothing difficult. We are just accepted as we are. We can do anything and live as is convenient. We have not to leave anything. We can eat whatever we like. We can do whatever we like. The only thing Osho requires his sannyasins is they do meditation regularly and attend his meditation camps and things like that. Yes, because Osho knows very, very well that transformation, understanding, can only come from the inside. It cannot come from what he is telling. It cannot come from any rules. It can only come from the inside, which the only way to find that is through meditation and come to the camps, to satsang, to darshan. The only thing Osho requires of his sannyasins is that they do meditation regularly and attend meditation camps and things like that. I told him that Osho feels more people can be helped in this way and that all spiritual goals will be achieved naturally in their own time by practicing meditation. Then Kamapa said, "You are very, very fortunate. We here in Tibet are very strict about everything for those who are initiated by us. And that's why it will never flower also. It's too strict. And especially for a Westerner." I then suggested to him that we would perhaps like to have a meditation camp in that area in the Himalayas. Just like me. I always tell my disciple, wherever you are, look for places. And this was still when Osho was going around having camps in Rajasthan, in Kashmir, in Manali. He immediately said that you can come and you are most welcome to my monastery. Whatever help you want, we will give it to you. Then that English lady who was translating for us said she will come to Bombay especially to meet Bhagwan early in October or November. I told her specifically that if she will come in October, she will be very lucky because we have a meditation camp where she could actually see for herself in which way Bhagwan is teaching meditation and how we are doing all our practices. She looked and said, "If not that, at least I shall definitely come to Bombay to meet the master." That will be a different techniques that they use in there. Some foreigners that were there were also very much impressed with this discussion. And immediately they wanted my address and wrote it down. And in October, some of them said they would come to our meditation camp. He went on to say that the world will know Bhagwan, but only a few people will really realize what he actually is. He will be the only person who can guide properly, who can be a world teacher in this age, and he has taken birth only for this purpose. He indicated that unless one achieves enlightenment, one will not fully know who he is. Even now, also people will misjudge him, as they misjudge us by understanding us and our meditation practices, and by seeing that we are allowed to continue to live with modern conveniences and luxuries. If we like and buy things like that, so people will misunderstand and judge us. His Holiness Karmapa then said that Osho really is interested only in the people who can know him, and he does not want to waste time. He will not want the wrong people to come. As soon as someone comes to him, Osho will know who he is by his color of his aura and by the colors indicating different degrees of the state of spirituality that person has reached. And he immediately finds out about that person. And only if he feels something special and someone is worthy, he will allow him to come near him. Otherwise, he will not allow it. Karmapa also asked me about sex, as my wife and children were also with me. He asked whether we were allowed to have sex lives. I said we are not supposed to renounce anything unnaturally or forcefully, but are supposed to take each step as it comes natural to us individually. Then I asked him, what about your disciplines? He said, there are special monasteries where couples can live together, very few. And we feel that if they are in very deep love, then the sex act will definitely help them to help each other, their intimacy in their deep love. There is a separate science for that also, but only for people who are in deep, deep love. only then, otherwise not. Otherwise it will be harmful to them and their energy and to their spiritual growth. So, as I see it, Osho is the only person who can give spiritual help in today's world to a large number of seekers. These were the words of His Holiness Karmapa also, that they themselves will not be able to help the world too much, and that the only person who can is Osho, and he will be recognized as a world teacher. Bhagwan has told me that it is very good that I went there, but I did not know whether I have gone or whether in a mysterious way he had sent me without me being aware of it. Osho did not directly tell me that he knew Karmapa in the past life, but I could see from his face and from his gestures that he did. That is why he said to me, "It is very good that you went there." I must say that I have felt very, very excited in learning all these things. I was not expecting to meet His Holiness Karmapa at first, but when I could meet him and hear all this, it was very, very wonderful. And it happened so out of a sudden. I am most, most happy and grateful about it. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Shanti. May everyone be free of suffering and realize their true nature and find peace. Hari Om. Oh.
Sonche o sangue no yo sonche. 三个就是秋，去了就是秋，跟对了就是秋。